probably the worst that happens is always when the problem hits us as persons. When we become involved in a difficulty, that difficulty takes great shape. But when other people are in difficulty, and we only watch them, our own smugness does not subside. Today we all have to feel it, or it will never be done. So we have a great deal to work with. If we look at the map and look at the political situation, we can say simply and honestly that with all the progress, with all the science, with all the understanding we claim to possess, and with all this progress we hear about and seldom see, we're in the worst shape we've been in 2,000 years. And we are not coming up. All these discoveries don't solve it. Because we will try and have tried everything except self-improvement. That is the one thing that we don't want to do. We do not want our luxuries to be curtailed. We don't want to have anyone dictate to what we do with our dollars. We should not need to have such dictation. The individual with the dollar should also inherit with it the value of what it means and what it signifies. He should realize the meaning of the words on the dollar and the bill, "In God we trust." And it took years to get that onto our banknotes, but it was finally done in this treacherous and terrible situation. If it hadn't been for wars, panics, and epidemics, it probably would never have passed. But it's now on all the paper money also. This is a proof that emergencies do produce results. Now all we know is that if we can move that statement off the paper dollar and into our own personal lives, we'll make another great step forward. Now when we are told that in God we trust, but we are also told that it is our duty as human beings to sustain our part of the universal responsibility. We can trust God if we keep the law, keep the rule, and follow the consequences. The word consequence I like so much better than the ones normally used, because it means a direct relationship to a previous circumstance. Consequence means that cause and effect are closely related and inseparable in value. This fact alone could do a tremendous amount. If our young people could accept the idea of cause and effect, we would have many restore their integrities and refrain from narcotics and other mistaken procedures. We need to know definitely that the law works. We don't trust the police system. We can't take care of it anyway, even if we did. We haven't enough jails to take care of all the criminals. But it'd be a wonderful thing if we didn't need jails at all, and these cells could be turned into one-room suites for people who need a roof over their heads. No guards, but a garden. But this is a type of thing it has to be given thought to. Now we'll say there will always be people who are incorrigible. There are always people who will not do what is right. But these people also are a consequence. They have been caused by something. The average person who is wrong is a product of a system which is basically wrong. The individual who has not the courage to stand for principles and truths has already been betrayed by circumstances over which he had no control or for which he was not strong enough to cope. All the problems that we have today, most of the problems of crime, have as their proper natural cause the nature of the civilization in which we now live. Improve the general life of people and you will reduce crime. Improve the general life of the individual, and we will reduce crime. Give children proper training, proper religious insights. Give them the realities of McGuffey's Reader, and get them off of some of the books that are now sold under the counter. And we will find that young people improve. We know that young people are now organizing in many places in an effort to combat problems that are peculiar to their age groups. They want to get out of it. They want to get well. And they should become part of a vast program. It's not a case of nations trying to understand each other's and preserve the corruption. Each nation determined to do as it pleases, but all others should change. This is not any good any more than it is for the individual. The problem is that we are going to be squeezed, and this squeezing will keep right on. And there will be more exposés, and there will be more epidemics, and there will be more earthquakes, and there will be more unemployment, until the individual realizes that there is a cause for all these things, and that this cause is correctable. But it is only correctable if integrity takes the place of ambition and personal wealth. If we can realize that at all times civilization is in our own hands, we are the ones that made it, we are the ones that are ruining it, and we are the ones who must rebuild it. When our first fathers came over here, we found the Indians were here. And the Indians were invited to some of the early banquets for the celebration of Thanksgiving. And everybody felt pretty good about it. But when it came here, the Pilgrim's Mayflower, first voyage, was also bringing with it most of the bigotries of Europe. It was bringing with it the same poisons that had made Europe unlivable. This whole Western Hemisphere came into power, came into prominence, and became the garden spot of Earth by the circumstances of Europe. Over there, things became impossible. Vice was rampant. Petty nobles were killing off their people in brutal warfare. The Hundred Years' War, the 30 Years' War, the 10 Years' War. No hope. Nothing for the average citizen to look forward to but slavery. No religious tolerance. You either belong to one or two of those groups in each country or you were in trouble. The neighbor determined your religious belief. If you didn't agree with the rest of the community, you were ostracized. There was no freedom of faith, no freedom of worship, no recognition of values beyond or behind the jots and tittles of the sacred writings. And when they came over here, what did they do? They brought it all with them. They hardly got settled before they threw out Roger Williams for nonconformity. And he went down and started the smallest state we have, Rhode Island. But these people who came over here brought their bigotries with them, their intolerances. They were escaping from a foreign yoke and then imposing another one upon themselves. And the history of the early settlements in this country are miniatures of the situations in the old country. They are small groups, each striving to maintain its own isolated purpose, each one in competition to all others. Each one determined to convert or condemn anything that didn't agree with them. And finally, they got together and turned their attention to destroying the dignity of the American Indian nations. So we brought it with us, and we're going to keep on having it. Because this type of sickness is like the mysterious problems of the bubonic plague. During the plague, a great many people, to escape the plague, got on ships and went out to sea to be away from the plague. Most of them took the plague on the ship with them, and they all died together, and the ships were derelicts floating on the sea for a century. Everything was about the same. Now we are in danger also of this mysterious germ that has affected us, this germ of economic inevitables. Everything must make money. Everything must be profitable. Everyone must support what he likes, but what is necessary he has nothing for. Also, he is determined in any way possible to perpetuate this system. He does not even think of improving it because he doesn't know how he should improve it. His schooling never taught him. His university never taught him. He was always taught to conform. He was taught to follow the leader. And if the leader was going nowhere, he went nowhere with him. These days are gone. Each individual has a right to be a person. This does not give us the right to break laws, but it, as Abraham Lincoln said, he would not break a law, but he hoped to live to make a better law. This is what we're up against. We don't want to break laws, but we want to make better laws. We want to create a gradual reformation of circumstances until the individual and the dignity of human purpose is preserved. We are also fighting against the destruction of our natural resources. We don't know how long we're going to roll around in space in this little ball, but we know how much timber we have, we know how much petroleum we have, and we know how much space we have for the refuse of human existence. We know definitely that under the present policy, our days are numbered from the mere standpoint of physical survival. And there's no way of making it any easier. The individual will not do the things that would make it better. Instead of conserving in every possible way, we are wasting in every possible way, and are encouraged to waste because waste contributes to profit. All these things, now, in the last 5 years, have come into focus. And I suspect that practically every nation in the world has within it now dedicated groups that do not want violence, do not want to overturn governments, but want to enrich and ennoble their own conduct and character, and to have their little part to play in the achievement of world peace, world harmony, and world abundance. These things are possible, but not while selfishness is at the helm and self-interest is dominant in practically every private citizen. So we have these things to think about, and I'd like to try to point out the value of a certain effort that we can make. Each of us, I think, believes in these principles. We believe in cause and effect. We believe very definitely in reincarnation. We believe very definitely that there is a reason for our existence, and that we are going somewhere. And we know that no matter what we do, we cannot be annihilated. That is, that the eternity in ourselves is indestructible. But it can be perverted. It can be restrained. It can be damaged. It can be hurt by the conduct of the mind and the emotions and bodily habits. Therefore, we know that we are, according to every conviction, beings being prepared for a greater destiny than now. We are evolving even though we have passed out of the ordinary steps of evolution. We are no longer moving from one kingdom to another, but we are moving from one conviction to another. We are moving from one level of consciousness to another. We are growing in spite of anything that we do. But there seems to be no reason why we must continue to grow more and more painfully. There seems to be no reason why it's necessary for nature to bestow another war on us or something of this kind in order to bring home the truth of life. Nature won't bestow the war under any conditions, but our own ungenerated and unregenerated attitudes may make it come about. We don't want to, we can't afford it, we don't need it. So each person can start in with just a few little quiet things. First of all, he can get over fear. He can get over this innate terror of losing his job or of some great disaster hanging over. He doesn't have to worry about that as far as his own life is concerned, if he is living as he should. His own concern is, can he be a maximum of value in time of emergency? If his help is needed, is he ready and is he prepared? This is the thing that should concern him. Not fear of the future, but will he be strong enough to serve the future when it comes? Will he be able to do the things that the future may deem necessary? Therefore, he has to start in little ways to do the things that he honestly, internally realizes to be correct. He must stop making the mistakes that he has made for ages, and at least make some new ones instead of keeping the old ones going forever. So I'd like to think of Thanksgiving not just as sitting down to a dinner, but as rather sitting up to a fact of one kind or another. That look around you and see what's happening. Observe the organizations, movements, and groups that are springing up everywhere for the purpose of bringing back to us some of the ideals that we need in order to meet the future with a good hope, or at least with a great deal more capacity than we have at the present time. Let us see what we can do with ourselves. Look back over your own life. Have you got any grudges anywhere? They won't help. But a grudge is a cause of consequence. As long as you have the grudge, nature is going to throw it back at you. Do you have prejudice? If you have prejudice, the cause will become, if in due time, the means of a consequence in which prejudice will do you damage. You cannot hold any attitude that is wrong without ultimately running against the consequences. Dishonesty, all these things, chicanery, unreasonable ambitions, and false profits from poor workmanship all have their consequences. It cannot be controlled by the unions, but consequence cannot be defeated. So let's start right away in the Afro-Britain now and the next Thanksgiving when it comes along in setting causes, the consequences of which will improve ourselves and those we know. Let us help to do better by children. We have give more time to those who need understanding. Be a little selfish, less selfish in our expenditures. More thoughtful of those we haven't spoken to maybe for years. Get rid of little by little the isolations which result in the consequence of isolation. This world is filled with lonely people, and much of this loneliness is consequence, the result of something of an earlier date. So we should start as soon as we can to build good consequences so that we can face tomorrow with the realization that we have invested something good in it, and not simply carrying on into it all the old rubbish that has deformed or distorted our minds and emotions for the greater part of life. And we also realize that very definitely now the importance of thought. Thoughts are things. The mental life of the individual is a very important common factor. There is a world mind, there is a race mind, there is a national mind, there is a community mind, and there is a family mind. There are all kinds of groups of intellectual attitudes and convictions. We have found that we can think together for common good and help it to come sooner. That we can think together for honesty and it will improve. We can think together for peace and peace will be closer. There is something within each of us that tells us that thinking is a cause and right thinking must have consequences. And these consequences are an improvement of the life patterns in which we live. Everything that we do right brings right. Everything that we continue to contribute to the old corrupt way of doing things helps to perpetuate the sorrows and miseries that we want to dispose of forever. So use the mind with the realization that it is possible gradually to improve your own thoughts. Your mind can be more healthy than your thinking. And if you give it a chance, it will think higher thoughts than those to which you are most usually acquainted. Therefore, we can use the mind very definitely to help to build proper thoughts and proper conditions. But we want to make sure that these conditions are the right ones. And I think in all prayers, we always have to bear in mind this simple fact that even at our very best, we know only what we want, not what we need. Pythagoras pointed that out very definitely and refrained from recommending prayer to be a fulfillment of personal desire. I think we should realize that prayer should always be accompanied by the conviction that this is what we want, what we need, what we believe, if it be right. If it is not right, let eternal right be done. We must always allow that we may mean well, but do not know. And with all the searching of the years of the humanity, generation after generation, looking into the mysteries of life, has become so fascinated by achievements and rewards and successes on this little molehill that they have never looked out to see what lies beyond. They have never taken into consideration what might be out there, which is the cause of us, which is the reality of us, and which in some mysterious way continues to lead us, whether we will or not. There's something there. And we may have the realization within ourselves that that something is good, that something is right. And the proof of it is that we've been doing wrong for ages and it hasn't worked. We keep on making the same old mistakes and we get into the same old troubles. So that obviously isn't the answer. We can't bluff our way into peace or contentment or prosperity. But we can unite in the dream of a better world. The best kind of a world that we know. The best kind of a world that we can understand. Where there will be neither poverty nor crime. Where there will be peace and friendliness. And a cooperation in which we shall live together for mutual good. In those days we will have opportunity to become better people. Most of our energies and resources today are devoted simply to survival or to the maintenance of some standard we have created arbitrarily. We are working forever for something we can't take with us. We are working for dollars and forgetting the inner life with its needs. The inner life does not need expensive physical things. It needs dedication. It needs the realization of the importance of inward realization of right. All over the world, we have beautiful groups of people working on these things. We have groups of people in every religion, but the religions are also in bad condition. Religions have taken it for granted, for some unknown reason, that their major purpose was to convert somebody. That they were, that if they could convert someone, it was perfectly right to do so. And that a non-converted person, an individual who doesn't see it their way, has no right to exist. This type of thinking is still bothering us quite a bit, in some parts of the Near East especially. But with all this type of thing, mysticism is increasing. It is increasing because it is in every religion. It is a level of conviction. Mysticism is a realization of the reality of things unseen. It is the recognition of a divine right at the source of existence. It is a recognition of the mercy of the infinite. And it is also a realization that this great plan, with all of its myriads and uncountable multitudes of worlds and spaces, all of this is part of a manifestation of the eternal love of a great power, a universal principle, but forever working for the common good, working for all things to bring them to the proper destiny for which they were intended. Everything in nature demands our obedience and gives us so generously if we obey. Everything that we try to do today and in the near future should be with the thought in mind that there is a world that needs work, that there are things to be done that we must do if we are to compensate for our own mistakes, for the things we have done badly. We are not asked to do penance. There is no such concept involved. There is no use in suffering because we have caused suffering. The thing for us to do is to cause the end of suffering, to come about with the peace and truth that is necessary. Penance is of very little value because the individual may punish himself, but the world continues the same. What we want is consequence in which the individual, recognizing his mistake, corrects it. Everything depends and requires a new standard of values in which we are not just repentant of what we've done, but dedicated to what needs to be done. That is what they came here for in the first place. That's what this country was established for in the beginning. Theoretically, it was to be a haven for those who were troubled. It was to be a place of protection for those who were unjustly treated. It was to be escape from the prisons of the old world and from the corruptions that were dominating both Europe and Asia. Today, however, these corruptions have crept in here, and the very people who leave other places to come to us find growing in us the very things they left behind and hope never to see again. So we have to recognize that we were an assignment of destiny. We were here because there was something for us to do. We were to prove the great experiment of the ages, that it was possible for human beings to work together and create a commonwealth of achievement. We are here as a hope of the ages. We are here as what was regarded as the final proof of the wisdom of the gods. Well, we can still be, and probably will be, the final proof, because we won't fulfill our own destiny until we become the final proof of universal destiny. We have to become evidence and example of the very things that brought pilgrims to our shores over 300 years ago. We have to do these things. We have to begin to build this world to be what it has been hoped, that it would be the hope of the ages, that it was to be the place where suffering ended, where all things were fair and just and equitable. And we have sort of slipped away from this thought. We've found a prosperous country where we could make a few extra dollars, and here we go. Well, within reason, we can go. But as soon as this concept is perverted, as soon as the country loses its birthright, its destiny, and compromises all other things, as long as it becomes a great hotbed of terrorism and difficulties, as long as it becomes overstocked in narcotics and all this type of thing, as long as it is victimized by world corruption, it cannot fulfill its duty. But we cannot be polluted. We cannot be victimized unless we permit it. The individual cannot take on any of the delinquencies of humanity unless he does so, unless he takes it. The decision, as St. Augustine says, is his own. And when he has the power of choice, he can choose to be right or he can choose to be wrong, but he cannot actually dominate or completely rule the consequences of his own choice. The moment he makes a choice, consequence steps in. But if he uses the choice that he has, he can choose a consequence that is good. He can take a world that is now in bad condition, and by using the theory of cause and consequence, he can begin the building of the world of tomorrow, in which causes we set in motion today will result in peace, happiness, and security for those who are to come. Some people say, well, maybe we shouldn't worry too much about those who are to come. After all, we won't benefit from them. The answer is very possible. We will be the people who will come. We may return, and we may find the bed we have made waiting for us. And we'd like to have it a nice, comfortable one. And if we depart, leaving behind us a world which we have done nothing to help, we will return to a world that has not received any help. And this we do not want. All things have got to be done fair and square. And the Pilgrim Fathers, as far as they went, were fair and square. But they were also square-toed and very puritanical. That doesn't help much. But it is the opposite of it, complete lack of discrimination or control, is no good either. The control comes from the heart and is rationalized by the mind and is distributed by the hand. These working together give us a better world and are things we look forward to with great hope. Now, for dinner on Thanksgiving, I suppose most of you will have some indigestibles. This is going to... And you so be prepared for the consequences of minor overindulgence. But at that time also have a little dedication somewhere and connected with it. That it is through the grace of providence that we are here. That we are here to celebrate anything. It is only our own good deeds that are keeping us going. And we must not forget to use them. And also that we should make a kind of dedication in ourselves that when we meet again next year, the world will be another step towards peace. That in one way or another things will happen and we will grasp every opportunity to make a better world. And by so doing, build a better destiny for ourselves and our children. These things have to happen. And I think it's wonderful to look and see them happening. And when we see it, it looks a little sad for a moment. I'll grant that. It looks sad to see what happened to the stock exchange. It looks very sad to see what happens to AIDS. It is not at all encouraging to see what happens to the treaties that we try to establish. These things are causes of quiet disappointment and to a certain degree of suffering. But one thing they tell us very strongly and positively, that which is not right will not work. And that is the most hopeful thing. That the only reason we have these problems is because we've earned them. We have earned chaos and we will have it. But by the same law, we can earn better wages and have them also. So if what we do wrong continues to produce trouble, what we do right might be worth experimenting with, at least moderately, to see if we can't find some answers that will help to get us into a permanently better condition. We must gradually get over the idea of the inevitability of the status quo. Things do not have to be forever the way they are now. They do not have to get worse all the time until everything falls apart. When human beings begin to think, they'll get along much better than they do now. I remember my old friend Dr. Bronson always used to say, when people's stomachs are as empty as their heads, we will have revolutionary improvement. We'll get further when people become personally affected. Nothing will make a better change in the educational system than the fact that our own children are not getting along so well. Nothing is going to do better to reform medicine than that we can no longer afford the exploitation of it. We cannot expect anything to happen to law unless we stop being overcharged for every legal purpose or stop causing legal difficulties. All these things are correctable, but we have to do it. No legislation can actually work while we cannot count on the integrity of the legislators. So in all these matters, we have much to be grateful for. We know for certain that we can build a better world. We know for certain that we can perpetuate our civilization until it can go on into the next stage of life, which is important to the eternal growth of things. We will have enough resources if we don't abuse them. Ways will be shown through our ingenuity to live as better people. And we will gain new insights in science. We'll be doing something besides developing atomic warfare. All of these things can be turned to great improvements, gradually and inevitably, if ulterior motive is removed, and each individual does the thing as the best he can, and is dedicated to the fact that he will contribute nothing to the common miseries of his associates. And with that, a dedication on Thanksgiving will go very well. It will make the dinner taste better and make the future look better. It's a good time now to look out and see that the world is changing for the better. You don't have to think so. You don't have to believe or hope. Read the paper, watch what is happening in society, and you will see that the change is in process. And for that change, we are truly thankful. Yep.